Luke. Luke.
Ben?
You will listen to the Wampa's Lair podcast.
Podcast?
There you will hear your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, as they discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out. Oh, and watch out for Wampas.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 177, Rogue One Teaser Reaction. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, I'm too excited to call him anything else, we just have Carl LeClaire.
Jason, I am excited about this new trailer.
Yes.
The Star Wars fan community has come alive yet again.
Again.
I love it.
Okay. And it's nice to have this pick-me-up after the heart-wrenching finale we got to Rebels about a week ago. So
absolutely. I am excited to kind of tear our teeth a little bit, our Wampa claws, into this amazing teaser. I will say that this teaser was, at least for me, my initial response, Jason, was more excited than the teaser we got like the year before Force Awakens.
Mm. Well, I mean, they didn't really show us much with that teaser exactly. The year before The Force Awakens, and we're closer in the timeline to Rogue One than that teaser was to Force Awakens, so we get to see more. Right. And it's almost, they call it a teaser trailer, but it's almost like our first actual trailer because we get, you know, a lot of setup in it.
Absolutely.
So,
but before we tear into it, Jason, why don't we play this real quick, just so it's fresh in all of our, in our minds here.
Do it.
State your name for the record.
Jyn Erso.
Forgery of imperial documents. Possession of stolen property. Aggravated assault. Resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15. Reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know what it is and how to destroy it.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
What will you do when they catch you? What will you do if they break you? If you continue to fight? What will you become?
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Jason, what was your... So I'll be honest, because I think this is important to say. I have yet to get really excited for Rogue One. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know it's been coming, but Force Awakens just, you know, that devoured my attention. It devoured my passion for Star Wars. It hit all the right cylinders for me. I'm so stoked for Episode 8 because of the way Force Awakens ends, right? It has you wanting the next movie.
Yeah.
And they haven't given us almost anything for Rogue One. You know, and up until pretty much yesterday, we almost have seen more of 8 than we have of Rogue One. Because we keep at least seeing, like, these set pictures and you know, whatnot. And
right.
I think, you know, it just kind of like the movie itself, it just, it's something so new. And I think it just, like, kind of floored everybody.
It came out of nowhere. We got this little, you know, teaser preview the day before saying, we've got a Rogue One trailer coming on Good Morning America tomorrow.
Yeah.
What?
Excuse me.
Okay.
What? Yeah.
Okay. And there was nothing, as far as I'm aware, nothing to, you know, that was out there saying, oh, look for a trailer soon. Look for a trailer soon. I mean, there's people speculating, well, we should be getting a trailer soon because, you know, we're getting to that point where we kind of need to see a trailer. But this came out of nowhere and it rocked our socks off. I mean, I've been interested to see what Rogue One brings because it's going to be the first of the standalone movies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sort of has to set the tone for what those are going to be moving forward. And I've been interested to see how, you know, about it because of that sort of reason. But not necessarily for the movie itself until I saw the trailer yesterday. Yeah. So, and now I'm like, oh, this will be good.
Mm-hmm.
This will be really good.
Yeah. You know, and from a lot of the reactions I've seen, and then I've been reading from, you know, our own friends and, you know, among the, you know, some of the folks who've already posted on our wall when we posted the trailer, you know, a lot of people are just eating this up. And to me, a common thread right now that I've been seeing is that this looks like Star Wars, right? Like, you know, yeah. we've got stormtroopers. We've got the Misasi Temple on Yavin 4 to start the trailer. We've got, you know, AT-ATs. We've got a Death Star. I mean, this, yeah, this definitely looks like Star Wars. But one thing I want to point out right off the bat is it feels different than Star Wars. And that's not knocking it. I think it has to, right? This is the first time we've gotten something very different. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've known since basically Celebration Anaheim that the take Gareth Edwards was going to take with this film was it's basically a military movie set in the Star Wars genre. So this is like Band of Brothers Saving Private Ryan in Star Wars. You know what I mean? I don't think it'll be quite as graphic, but
no.
But, you know, it is. There's a seriousness to this tone that is very distinctly different than, you know, our saga films have ever been.
Right. And Felicity Jones looks great as the lead. Jyn Erso, I love the fact that, you know, they're you know, listing her disciplinary actions, essentially. And she's like, well, this is a rebellion. I rebel. I'm like, yes. Yes, you do, Felicity. Or Jyn, I should say. Jyn Erso. And that's the only character name that we've gotten so far from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean,
it's pretty clear Mon Mothma's in it, though.
Yes, well, that is true. Mon Mothma is, and it's
episode three.
Got the same actress from Revenge of the Sith,
right?
From the deleted scenes, and Genevieve O'Reilly, I believe, is her name. But they brought her back to say, "Hey, you played her in the deleted scenes. Let's get you back and have you play her in Rogue One." And I like that continuity. Even if the deleted scenes aren't technically part of the movie, we've all seen them. And so we know what she looks like and what she sounds like. And they've got her costume, of course, matching more the costume she has in Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm.
And you know what's cool, Jason, with that?
She fits.
Yeah.
She fits perfectly as the character. And you can see her from Revenge of the Sith to Rogue One to Return of the Jedi and go, yes, that's Mon Mothma.
Yeah, and even think about it, you know, the years between Revenge of the Sith when they filmed that with her and now is almost about this. It's not that far from the time period between, you know, Episode 3 and Return of the Jedi. So it's interesting because that, you know, that's obviously like a 25-year gap. It's been almost 15 years since that movie was filmed. So it's really easy to make her look so much like Return of the Jedi Mon Mothma as well.
Yeah.
They really, like, they nailed that definitely on the head. And it's cool, too, because if you've been reading the Star Wars comics by Marvel, Mon Mothma has been showing up a lot in between the canon of, you know, episodes 4 and 5. So she's clearly around the Misasi Temple, even though she's obviously not on screen in A New Hope. But it's cool that it's even playing with their new canon that they've created.
Yeah. The way that this is looking, and just based on, I'm going to start delving into some speculation, based on how the Rebels are set up at Misasi and how the Death Star is being finalized. What we can gather with that final shot there is it's finalized and they're just going to be basically locking it down. This movie probably takes place mere, you know, a week or two before the events of A New Hope. It's literally going to – you could watch – my guess is you could watch Rogue One and then immediately pop in A New Hope, and that would be your timeline there. You know, there's not going to be much gap between these two films
in the timeline. Just a huge gap in computer graphics.
Well,
But here's one thing I want to point out right off the bat. One of the predominant feelings I had from watching this trailer was one of fear, fearing the Empire, which is awesome. I mean, you know, in A New Hope, I knew they were the bad guys, and I knew we had to stay away from them because they're the bad guys, but I don't know that I necessarily would have attached a fear feeling to it. It was more of just like, they're the bad guys, stay away. And even in Empire, obviously, like, Vader does some, you know, he's very sinister and whatnot, but I still don't know that I was afraid per se. But there's something about this trailer that really, and this is what I like about it, and I think this is the promise of these anthology films, is they can really just give us more depth to the saga story. You know, I mean, I feel like after watching this movie, you might next time you sit down to watch A New Hope after this, you might be watching it with a little bit of a different lens. You know, you might be fearing this Death Star a little bit more than just like, oh yeah, it can destroy a whole planet. That's pretty freaky. But when you watch like the scariness of the Death Troopers, not the, is that what they're called? The Death Troopers?
Shadow Troopers?
Shadow Troopers, something like maybe. That. I think it is Death Troopers.
I don't remember. I've never been a big trooper guy, so.
Yeah. But I mean, they look terrifying. You know, and just in, yeah, I mean, that's to me like the predominant feel of what I really like about this is it's really making the Empire look scary. Not horror film scary, right? Like, we don't want a Star Wars movie to ever be rated R. That just wouldn't fit.
But no.
I think it'll give it that different dynamic of like a little bit more of like, yeah, these guys are, they're terrifying, you know?
Yeah.
Look out. And that this new villain, who looks like a Grand Admiral, by the by. We don't know his name, obviously. I think no. Ben Mendenhall or something. Ben something is the actor. I mean, he looks scary even though he's an old man. Like, just in a few shots, like, he looks intimidating. He looks like you don't want to mess with him.
And that cape.
Yes.
That cape dough. I love the cape. Oh, man. It's great. It's great. There's so many interesting things in this trailer, and I'm going to skip ahead to, you know, a certain point in the trailer. We may be seeing the Emperor make an appearance. And if it's the Emperor, you can about guarantee that's Ian McDiarmid. We see a shot of someone kneeling in a room with the Emperor's royal guards standing watch inside the room. The person kneeling is in a hooded robe.
So doubtful that it's Vader.
So yes, it is doubtful it's Vader, because why would Vader put a hood over his helmet?
Right.
It could be the Emperor, and this could be some sort of meditation area for his Sith powers or something, or perhaps it's someone coming to see the Emperor, because why would his guards be there if he wasn't around? So it's interesting. If Ian McDiarmid is in here as the Emperor, I will be so happy. will be so happy.
I will say that I've read in several places that Darth Vader will be in this movie. I don't think he's a central character, but I think we're going to see some Vader. Which makes me very excited. But yeah, I would love to see Ian McDiarmid show up, even if it's just for one scene as the Emperor. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome.
I think that
would also lend it a bit of legitimacy too.
Yeah.
The movie. It would definitely give it an up sense of legitimacy as a Star Wars movie.
I think that's true. You know, I mean, it's cool that we're going to have these anthology films that are going to be very much distinct from, again, the saga story. But it will be nice to have at least a few little anchors here and there to kind of tie it into the bigger story. I mean, we're obviously going to get that in the Han Solo movie because it's Han Solo. So it's it's a central character. That's all you need. You don't need Lando. You don't need Luke. You don't need anybody really, because it's Han as a major character. You know, we'd be satisfied with Chewie. But something like this, it will be really cool to see the Emperor. I mean, we're getting Mon Mothma. That's clear. you know, we're getting the leader of the, mm-hmm. the rebellion. It yeah. would make sense that we might get the leader of the Empire.
Right.
So, yeah, man, this just looks really, really good. What do you say we kind of just jump into it a little bit, like scene by scene, just kind of eat this up a little bit? I mean, it starts sure. with, it starts with, like you said, you know, it's this main character, Jen. How do you say her last name? Erso?
Jen Erso.
Erso. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's how that's pronounced, which makes me think of Jan Ors from the Kyle Katarn stuff. Jan Ors being Kyle Katarn's, sidekick, essentially, not sidekick, but partner in crime when he was not, pursuing his life as a Jedi. Mm-hmm. Just her character type and the name a little bit familiar, you know, sounding makes me think of Jan Ors.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that out there for you EU and video game folk.
Mm. Ooh, real quick. That just, since you brought that up, I forgot to mention this on our last episode where we talked about the finale of season two of Rebels. There's a line mm-hmm. though that Ahsoka says where she says to, I think she says it to Ezra, legends are important.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if they threw that in there.
there's always some truth in legends. Mm. Yes.
That's what it is. Yeah. 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 It's like, oh, hey.
There you go.
All right. The Thrawn trilogy. Yay. but anyway, back to this. So yeah, I mean, we start off with meeting our main character, who looks great. You know, it's another female lead in Star Wars, which has obviously got a lot of people really happy. I think that's going to, again, garner more female fandom. But more than that, I think it broadens our, I don't know. I don't want to be one of those people who's like, oh, I'm so excited that Star Wars has got all these female leads and like, it's so great that we're doing this. It's not like that. I just think it's great that Star Wars, again, it's a reminder that there kind of aren't any boundaries. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if it's a female lead. It doesn't matter if it's an African-American lead or a Latino lead. It doesn't matter. It's Star Wars. Like, that stuff just doesn't matter in this world. And it, obviously, there is some people who are upset about it. Like, geez, why do we have to have another female lead? But I think that's a very small voice within the community.
It is. It is. It's a very small group of people making that noise, and the reaction to it is what's making it really noticeable,
right?
Because everyone is going, oh, that's, you know, that's horrible to say or whatever. Yeah. And the reaction is, you know, 10 times larger than the actual little bit of voice resistance. To begin with.
Yeah, exactly. But be that as it may, it's cool to see another, you know, female lead. And you know, and we see her walking in handcuffs. It looks like she's in handcuffs as she's being led through the Misasi Temple. Again, this looks awesome. It looks like the Misasi Temple. We see them. She walks by an X-Wing being brought in. It's just like, yes, like X-Wings. Yep. You know, I mean, this is so cool. And then she's obviously brought before Mon Mothma, where they're reading through these charges. You know, it's like she's obviously a criminal in the eyes of the Empire, right?
Exactly.
But I think it almost makes me think a little bit of like an Ezra type character. In the sense of like Ezra is kind of like he steals from the Empire, mm-hmm. but he's not necessarily doing it to because he's an organized member of the rebellion. He's doing it simply because he wants to survive, and he probably doesn't like the Empire. He sees it for what it is. I wouldn't be surprised if she's a character similar to that who. She doesn't like the Empire. She likes to cause trouble for them. But more than anything, she's just maybe just a survivor. You know, she's just somebody who's making it by. And
it seems like what this is her list of accomplishments against the Empire has garnered the attention of the rebellion. And they've sprung her from prison for this mission.
Mm.
To offer her this mission. I don't think she's part of the rebellion to begin with. I think she's, you know, there's, you know, forging of imperial documents, that sort of thing. She's some sort of forger, some sort of scoundrel. She's, you know, she's garnered the attention of the Empire. And I think the rebellion needs people like her for this mission to find out, you know, what the Death Star is. And they think she's perfect for it. And so they've, you know, sprung her in order to offer her this chance.
Yeah.
Which is why I think she has, you know, that line, oh, this is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel, you know, that sort of thing. I think
Yeah.
I don't think she's part of the Rebel Alliance to begin with.
Right. And I think more than anything, though, she is. She's a force to be reckoned with. But she is kind of like this like lost person kind of doing it on her own. And I think the importance of the rebellion bringing her in is they're going to focus this energy in a sense, right? Like they're going to take this untapped potential and give it a focus. Like you've got all these great skills. The rebellion is going to recognize that and say, you know, why don't we give you a task? Why don't we give you a mission? Why don't we give you a purpose beyond just raising hell to raise hell? You know what I mean? I think that's going to be the neat part of her story is she'll find within the rebellion a community. I mean, we see obviously there's going to be some, like she's paling up with some characters in this film. We've seen that cast photo that came out a year ago. You know, she obviously is going to have a running crew. And, you know, we can imagine that they're going to have some level of personal connections that are built through the story. We can hope that. And I think that's, you know, again, that's what Star Wars is about, is taking people and making them feel like they can do anything. You know, I think maybe that's what this main character is going to be. She's going to be our hero who is, you know, she finds something that gives her purpose, and that's what the rebellion's going to be for her. So it kind of, again, it takes that, if you will, she's like a waterfall, but the rebellion is like the canal that's going to catch that water and channel it somewhere of value. So
yeah,
struggled through that analogy.
No, but no, I she is, she's sort of a loose cannon that the rebellion is going to be aiming, you know, in a sense. So, yeah.
Well, and we see what she can do in just that little clip where she takes out like three stormtroopers on her own.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah.
There's something interesting I want to point out.
Mm-hmm.
There's that shot of her, you know, peeking around a corner with the little hood on.
Yep.
There's a droid behind her.
Mm.
We see that droid in another shot later on in the trailer.
Yeah.
I think she's got a droid.
Yeah. Which, again, a huge part of Star Wars. It's called, yeah. Well, I was reading something about it on makingstarwars.com, so I won't share what that is because obviously that's a spoiler-heavy site. But I'm all about spoilers, so I won't share what they say about the droid. Not to say that it's accurate. But yeah, you're right, Jason. It does seem as though she has a droid counterpart, which is such a huge part of Star Wars. And it's a very different looking kind of droid. Kind of, to me, honestly, it kind of reminds me of the droid that, you know, Han, Finn, and Rey walk by when they're going into Maz Kanata's castle. That's kind of like walking out. It looks like a similar droid to that. It's an upright droid, but it's not a protocol droid.
So. Right. No, it does. I did not make that connection until just now. Yeah. It does look similar, a little less cobbled together than that droid.
Yeah.
In The Force Awakens, perhaps Force Awakens is dropping a droid type on us, and Rogue One's going to be able to flesh out a little bit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But then obviously we get in the trailer, you know, they say, you know, they basically insinuate that they know about the Death Star and they want her to find the plans for it because they want to be able to figure out what it is and how to destroy it. So they give her that mission, you know.
Right. There's this weapons test, the Empire is going to do. They know that there's some sort of weapons test. They don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they need her to find out. And of course, that's when, of course, we see the shot of the Death Star.
Which looks amazing.
Yes.
It looks so freaking cool. This is the coolest looking Death Star shot I've ever seen. You know, I mean, the way that the Star Destroyer is covered up by the shadow of just the super laser too, you know?
Yes.
And the way the super laser looks, you know, as it's coming in, it really does look like one of those weapons from the Clone Wars, from the Battle of Geonosis. Like it really does look, which is cool because it was designed by the Geonosians. So I like that even in, you know, obviously it's always looked like that, but I just noticed because it was before it's completely put in, right? You can get a sense of what it looks like kind of on its own as its own piece.
Yeah, and yeah,
it just screamed Clone Wars to me, or Attack of the Clones.
Those are artillery cannons that the clones were using, right? That's what you're talking about?
I am.
Okay, yeah. The ones that they brought down the Trade Federation.
Yes.
Control ship with. Yes, it does. Yeah. I like the connections. Yeah. But yes, it totally It looks like, obviously, the way they do this Death Star is they prefabricate pieces that are, you know, smaller, more easily handled, and then they all put it together up here where the Death Star is, and this looks to be the final piece.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is. It's really imminent that this is a threat that's becoming very dangerous, and the Rebellion has to respond to it. And that's, and we've known that. I mean, we've known that since they've announced Rogue One, that this is what the plot of the movie is. So, you know, it's, nothing's being, like, nothing new is necessarily being learned by any of that dialogue.
Right.
But then we do get the shot of our new villain of the film, who, again, he looks like a Grand Admiral. Like, his, I mean, he's got the white top on. He's got a huge insignia badge on. It's a lot bigger than Admiral Piet's. So,
yes.
It's quite possible that this is our first on-screen Grand Admiral in Star Wars.
It is possible. And it looks like he's standing on the bridge of the Death Star there.
Yeah.
With that shot of the planet, the display of the planet behind him or whatever it is. And he's got a blaster there in his hand. When I first saw the trailer, I thought that he had like a cane of some sort. That's a blaster.
I just looked. I thought it was a cane too. I didn't know that.
No, he's got a blaster there, and he looks like he's waiting to execute someone, to be perfectly honest.
Mm.
Just the look and the way that he's holding the blaster, and I think he's waiting to execute possibly the designer.
Interesting.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm speculating on how the Empire works. You know, you designed and helped finish this battle station. Thank you for your service. We can't let you fall into enemy hands. Goodbye.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it'll be interesting to see who this guy is, though, because we don't see him in A New Hope. Grand Moff Tarkin's in charge of the Death Star. And at the end of Revenge of the Sith, we see Grand Moff Tarkin overseeing the construction of the Death Star with the Emperor and Vader. So it'll be interesting to see who this guy is. We can speculate that he might not survive, and that's why he's not in A New Hope. We don't know, though.
Right.
So we can also speculate that a lot of these main characters die, but you don't know. Because we're not told what happens to them. I mean, again, all we get in the opening crawl is the Rebellion's won its first major victory against the Empire, and in that battle, they stole the planets of the Death Star. So, who knows? We just don't know.
We don't. But he looks cool, and I love that cape. Again, yeah. I've said that before. I love that cape.
Yeah. We get
the Empire moving through a city.
Yeah.
Real quick. In a new
hover tank is what it's called.
Troop, a new hover tank. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we see after that? Let's see.
We get Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah,
as this new character, and he's the other sort of standout character to me from this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. I love him as an actor to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great actor, and he's done a whole lot of things. And I'm just glad that we have him in Star Wars now.
My only actually critique of the entire trailer is just the way he looks. He looks like he's right out of Mad Max Fury Road. it's just like a dystopian, futuristic look to him. That's very like dystopian sci-fi. So it's I'm not saying it's not Star Wars. It just really, as soon as he walks onto the screen, I'm like, is this a Mad Max trailer? So, but I love his dialogue. I love what he has to say. And just based on what he says, to me, he's the wise character of this film, potentially. He's the Obi-Wan, the Yoda type figure. Not that he's going to be teaching about the Force, but, you know, he's asking these questions about, like, what are you going to do if you get captured? What are you going to, you know, what are you going to do if you keep fighting? What will you become? He's asking those, like, deeper, those deeper philosophical, psychological questions, it seems.
Yeah.
And we can assume he's talking to Jyn, the main character.
I would assume so, especially if he's been with the Rebellion and she's just sort of getting brought along here.
Mm-hmm. But then it goes to that cool shot of the Death Troopers, I think they're called that, which we saw that brief clip of to tease this trailer.
Yeah. And it looks like there's some sort of moisture evaporator in the background.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, again, everybody's absolutely right. This looks like the Star Wars world. It's perfect. Because there's just like these little things you need to put in to make it look like Star Wars. And I think that they've definitely done that.
Interesting. There's things that, you know, it looks like some sort of backworld planet. that they're on a lot of the time. And there's things that look sort of Tatooine-esque, but I don't think it's Tatooine.
Yeah, I would imagine not. But we do get then, you know, his first question is, what would you do if you're captured? And we see some X-Wing pilots and binders. They look pretty beat up and banged up.
Yep, again, being escorted away by stormtroopers.
Which makes, again, that shot right there makes me think, like, whew, like, these guys are scary. I wouldn't want to be captured by them. You know, it'd be like falling into the Gestapo's hands in World War II. You don't want that to happen.
No.
And then we get this great shot of Jin, and I think his name is Diego. I can't remember his last name.
Diego Luna.
Diego Luna. Yeah, that's who I'm assuming this is. The two of them in her droid running through what's potentially a Star Destroyer or some sort of Imperial installation
hallway of sorts.
Yeah, and then it goes to a shot of a bajillion stormtroopers running.
Yep.
And then we get this really cool character who, I mean, he literally looks like
Donnie Yen.
Yeah.
Is a Chinese martial arts movie star. That's who the actor is. He's done martial arts movies before, and he looks like this sort of Last of the Samurai type characters. Yes. As he's coming to face these stormtroopers. He really does. It's kind of funny. But he walks up and with his staff, you know, knocks out a stormtrooper, yeah, which is great.
Yeah, and again, this looks like, I think part of Star Wars combat is there is a little bit of like Eastern combat to it. There is a little bit of martial arts stuff to Star Wars, specifically like lightsaber fights. It's pretty much guaranteed we won't get a lightsaber duel in this movie. Maybe we'll see Vader kill some people with his, but who knows? But yeah, no, right. It's cool to see though, like this kind of like hand to hand coordinated combat that we see from this character. So I think that's going to be exciting to watch this guy.
He looks cool.
Yeah, and then we get that really cool shot of again these Death Troopers shooting blasters that look very different from any other blaster we've seen in Star Wars. I think those blasters are now available on Battlefront though. I didn't get the expansion, like I didn't do the Outer Rim expansion, but I think it's one of the guns you can get through that expansion now.
I'll have to take a look at those.
Yeah, so I think that might be already in Battlefront. But then we get this shot of what looks like a transport blowing up. This transport makes me think of Kylo Ren's ship.
Yeah, it does.
The wings specifically. It just makes me think of Kylo Ren's ship from Force Awakens. But it looks really cool. It definitely looks like an Imperial transport of some kind. So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, it does look like Kylo Ren's transport. Like if you attached another one to it and it was some sort of like big mega transport. So if it maybe, you know, a precursor to Kylo Ren's shuttle is this big mega transport of sorts. And, you know, it looks rather large because obviously you've got all those palm trees and the wings are way up above them, so
yeah.
I do like the fact that it looks like we're getting some sort of like dusty, beachy sort of planet.
Yeah,
that's something we haven't seen in Star Wars.
Right. I mean, before. A little bit on Kashyyyk.
A little bit, but you know, it was more of a jungle beach than anything.
True. Yeah.
But now it looks like we've got an actual beachy beach.
Yeah. Well, and then that leads right into this great shot of the new villain with his cape in the water, which is really cool. He's like, it looks based on these shots, it might look like that was his transport.
Yeah.
And you see him strolling towards the destruction with dead stormtrooper bodies around it. So again, yeah, like just with a little shot like that, it makes this character look intimidating. Like, dude, why are you just strolling up to that? But he is. I mean, he looks like he's a guy to be afraid of.
Yeah. He's a man on a mission, and he's not happy, it looks like. The way he's walking, I don't think he's happy about the destruction.
Right. And then we get the great shot that everybody's going crazy about of this hooded character kneeling down in front of this, you know, this holographic tube type thing with two Imperial Royal Guards in there. So,
yeah.
Again, I don't know who that character is. I highly doubt it's Vader, and it's probably not the Grand Admiral type character. Why all of a sudden would he be in a black cape with a, you know, hood?
Right.
So we just don't know who this character is.
I'm hoping it's Palpatine. Because I want to see Palpatine again. You know, everyone knows my love of Palpatine and Ian McDiarmid. You know, I would love to see him return to Star Wars. And there was all these rumors of Palpatine making an appearance in The Force Awakens or some sort. It could be because Ian McDiarmid had been busy doing something. And I'm like, well, maybe it's this. You know, there'd been all these rumors of Ian McDiarmid returning to play Palpatine in Star Wars. And he, you know, said if he was going to appear in any of these movies, he'd like to come back because it's his character, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm crossing my fingers and hoping beyond all hope that we get Palpatine making a brief appearance, if, you know, at the very least.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm hoping the same thing. But then, the trailer basically progresses to this amazing, almost closing shot of what looks like our main rebels running on this beach being shot at by AT-ATs.
That's like a D-Day sort of thing here where they're trying to avoid getting blowed up by AT-ATs on this beach. And it looks awesome, that shot. There's at least four of them.
Right.
And the AT-AT stepping in the water there and the splashes and everything. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Now we get to really see, you know, how they're supposed to work, these things.
Right. They look so cool. And I like, though, that their movements still are kind of slow and litigious and very similar to the movement of the Walkers in Empire, right? Because these are obviously these are clearly digital creations now, and they could probably make them move very quickly and with a lot more fluidity. But I like that they're sticking to the way that they first moved. You know, they look better for sure, I think, because they're not stop and go animation models.
Stop motion models.
They do look a lot better. So I can't wait to see what the heck this scene is. And that's terrifying to be getting shot at by those on an exposed beach. And that great comparison to D-Day.
Question. Yeah. Do these walkers look a little more slender to you than the ones we see in Empire?
I think so. And they look a little taller, too.
Yeah. Which is in line with the sort of prototypes we got in Rebels.
Yep.
Because those were taller and a little bit different style than the ones we got in Empire. The ones in Empire appear to be stockier, a little bit bulkier to sort of help lower the center of gravity, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because these have a very high center of gravity. I feel like we might see a couple of them get toppled.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, and also maybe too, is these almost look more like attack walkers than maybe, you know, the ones in Empire, they probably were also full of troops. They were also troop transport. So maybe that's why they're bulkier too, right? They have to have more room for troops. So, but we'll find out. And then
back up this real quick. I want to check something. It looks like it does not look like they have the chin guns on these.
I just closed it, so blast.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, I'm looking at it right now. It does not look like they have chin guns. They just have the guns on the sides of the heads too. So they're a slightly different model.
Okay. That's fair. It would make sense that the Empire has different models of them.
Yep.
And
then, of course, the final shot of the trailer, you know, what will you become? Forrest Whitaker asks, and we have Jin in a TIE fighter pilot outfit.
Yeah.
In, you know, something that looks like a Cloud City hallway with all the lights going on around her.
You know, and that's the thing is, what will you become? It almost insinuating, does she join the Empire? But
I think this is a disguise.
I do too. I think she's obviously going to be the one that literally gets in there and steals the plans. She's going to infiltrate either the Death Star itself or some sort of Imperial installation where these plans might be. So I think she is clearly the hero of this film. And she looks cool in that outfit. The TIE fighter pilot outfit. So yeah, again, Jason, this is why I love doing a podcast, because when I first saw that outfit, I didn't realize it was a TIE fighter pilot. I thought it was similar to like Agent Kallus's outfit. But then again,
maybe it is.
But then again, it's black. Kallus's is more gray. So
that is true. I don't know. Maybe
I think you might be right about it being a TIE fighter pilot.
I think it is a TIE pilot outfit, but I could be off.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out in a few months. Thank God.
I know.
I think at the end of the day, this teaser was a monumental success.
Yes.
Because there's been a lot of people who have been excited about this film all along without seeing anything. But I, for one, and I think even you, Jason, it's not that I didn't care, but I don't know. Like I've still just been looking more forward to episode 8. That this film is just kind of like, yeah, I mean, this will be cool to see. But now I am geared up and ready to go.
Yes. And I'm so happy we got this because Kyle, Joey, and I got approved for our panels at Phoenix Comic Con. And we're going to be talking about, you know, the aftermath of Episode 7 and moving forward with the new films that are coming up. And now we have something to show and talk about for Rogue One. So I'm really excited about that. But yes, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And this trailer has me excited for what these anthology films are going to be. And of course, you know, the title comes up, you know, Rogue One, a Star Wars story. And I'm like, yes, I love that. I love that title rather than, you know, Star Wars anthologies, Rogue One, you know.
Right. Well, and you know what I think is, I remember when they first started announcing these standalones, my initial reaction was more of one of hesitation, like, come on, like every year a new Star Wars movie, this might be a bit much. But I think what's so cool is like when I've read a lot of these making of Star Wars books by Rensler now and then Chris Taylor's How Star Wars Conquered the Universe. A lot of the stuff in there has been very clear that early on, George Lucas originally wanted to set up Star Wars as kind of like this huge franchise where everybody could play. And he wanted different directors and writers and everything. And I think it's finally become that now. And I think that's really exciting. And, you know, this is a world that is very clearly established in our popular culture. It has millions of fans worldwide. It's finally time to start playing in it. And I think this is the fun thing, is these movies are going to allow us. I think it will tap that. Again, what to me I love about Star Wars is it taps that childlikeness in all of us by letting us just play something fun. And I think this movie is going to be a fun new adventure in a world we know so well. But it's going to be different because it's not going to be about Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader or Kylo Ren or Rey. It's just a new, it's a story within a story we love so much. And I think that's exactly, it's going to be so successful.
It's bringing what we got with the expanded universe and the video games and that sort of thing. It's bringing that sort of stories to the forefront now with these anthology, these standalone movies. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And we get to finally see these side characters and these side plots fleshed out and brought to the forefront. And I'm super excited to see this. And
you and me,
I cannot wait to find out, you know, all the surprises that we're going to get with this movie. So
my guess is we'll get one final, like, full trailer at Celebration this summer in Europe. That's my guess. That'd probably be a good timing because that's 3 months from now, and that's five months before the movie. Well,
yeah,
5 or 6 months before the movie. Yeah, so I could see that, and I think we might get a tease of Vader in that one. Because I will say that was the only thing I was a little disappointed about, is that I would love to have seen Vader or even heard breathing or something. I'm ecstatic about this now, which is exciting.
Indeed. Well, anything else?
No, I think we did a pretty thorough job.
I think so. The one last thing I want to mention, the music in the trailer was great. I don't think it's final music for the movie itself. It would be cool if it was, but the music in the trailer was awesome.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up, because you're right. This is definitely a modern day trailer. Right, like these old Star Wars trailers they weren't epic and pump up like this is. But yeah, I love the music. I love the themes. They use these original, against the Star Wars themes, but just with a simple piano. And I love it. I think the music is great, and it really does add to the fervor of the film. So it'll be exciting to hear the music for this movie, because it's not John Williams, and it's a different type of Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a great thing to talk about when we start hearing some of that as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, Carl, if people want to give us more of their thoughts on the Rogue One trailer or anything else, where can they do that?
They can do it on Facebook, facebook.com/wampaslayerpodcast. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampaslayer, or shoot us an email at wampaslayerpodcast@gmail.com. And Jason, before we do sign off, because we put this out so quickly, you want to remind folks what our next matchup is that Matt Cranky gave us on our last episode?
Yes, that will be Zeb versus Chewie. So be sure you stick around and visit all our social media for that. But I think that'll wrap up this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This has been episode number 177, Rogue One Teaser Reaction. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we'll see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.